Line, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Whole squad in studio today. Willie D, D-Mace, how we doing today?
What's going on? Things are great. It is hump day. Am I right?
Hump day?
Yes, it is.
Hump day?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It is also happy. Titans OTA day.
I just had a feeling you were going to say it like that.
OTA day.
Oh, my goodness.
So we'll hear from Mike Vrabel at 12:30, Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow at noon, and also Aaron Schatz from footballoutsiders.com will join us at 11:30. This is your guy, the analytics guy, Willie.
That's right. Aaron Schatz is a guy that was basically the creator of Football Outsiders. He goes way back. It was called the football. What was it called at the beginning? You know, there was sort of Moneyball, and then a couple years later is when I think it was called Football Abstract. Is what the very beginning was.
Football Outsiders sounds cooler.
Yeah,
they eventually changed it to that.
Football
so,
Abstract.
Yeah,
no. You know, he started taking these concepts that were starting to take over Major League Baseball. Right, we all remember the book and then the movie, the Oakland A's teams, you know, Brad Pitt and all that stuff. So I think he was one of the first to actually start delving into analytics in football. How could you translate? It's harder, right? Pitcher versus batter, mm-hmm. a little bit easier mm-hmm. to quantify than 11 versus 11.
Right.
But they've done some amazing things, I think, over the years. And then other websites have followed. You know, Derek, you always mm-hmm. talk about you know,
Pro Football Focus.
Pro Football Focus. Mm-hmm. That's a really good one. And there's a bunch
Next
of other
gen
ones, right?
Stats.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. ESPN's got their own department now that they do. So Aaron will join us at 11:30 because Caroline almost exploded in the studio. I thought she was. I thought the walls were coming down.
I thought I was going crazy
when I told you that that DeAndre Hopkins ranked 71st and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chris Moore were higher in the metrics last year than DeAndre Hopkins. Caroline was like, "What world am I living in here? I'm losing my mind."
Efficiency be damned.
And
give
then
D Hop.
And then Jarrett says that I said D Hop wasn't good anymore. That never came out of my damn mouth at all.
You did say you'd rather have Chris Moore over DeAndre Hopkins.
I said based upon the numbers and where I think Chris Moore is headed.
And the efficiency.
And the efficiency, yes, the numbers, is that D-Hop has lost the step. And ain't nothing wrong with saying that. I'm still not saying he's
31.
He's not a good receiver in this league or more than a good receiver in this league. But sometimes when you call it like it is, it's not that you're trying to put the player down. His resume is his resume, mm-hmm. D-Hop's. He's a Hall of Fame resume, damn near. But the last 3 years hasn't been Hall of Fame. Like, it's okay to say that. And it's okay to say, hey, they got a younger kid over here that finally got an opportunity to play, and he showed he can play, and they thought highly enough of him that they signed him to a contract. It's okay to say that, to say, you know what, it seems like he's trending up, and the other guy is sort of trending down because of his age and his history and him being hurt the last 2 years, really, because he missed the last few games of the mm-hmm. season last year, and the PEDs. So it's not crazy. I think sometimes people get scared to say things because they are in fear possibly that it may get back to that person or that you just may be wrong. Well, damn that. I'm not scared to be wrong, you know? I'm saying he's trending down. Now, trending, what does trending down mean?
I mean, trending down is different for every player.
Exactly. Every player trending down is different. Derrick Henry trending down still means he's the best runner in the National Football League. That's what it means. The numbers bear it out. D-Hop, it may mean something else for him. You know, he was always a 1,300-yard guy, almost 100 catches, if not 100 catches. Well, the yards per catch is going down. The efficiency is going down. The way he impacts a game is it goes down as you start to get older and you start to get these injuries and stuff like that. So it's not wrong for me to say, hey, this cat's trending down and the other cat's trending up. you take your pick. That's all I'm saying. If he comes here, that's great. He's going to help the receiver room.
Yeah, and of course, because he ranked lower last year, does not mean he will rank lower next year, right? This is all what you have to do when you're trying to figure out the value, what you should offer. And so we'll talk about the strategy of maybe not offering him a contract. This morning, the whole show on Goldie's show was, oh my gosh, they have to sign DeAndre Hopkins in New England. They can't make the playoffs without DeAndre Hopkins. They just went crazy about it. That was nuts this morning. So Aaron Schatz is going to be the voice of reason.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guru. He will tell us why the stats were low in his metrics. And is there reason to believe he will bounce back and how much next year? So be listening at 11:30. This is going
to
be good.
I'm looking forward to getting some context to the number and just, you know, how much of it is, you know, it, just simply a number and how much of it is truly a projection. But speaking of DeAndre Hopkins, we know that D-Hop was here in Nashville over the weekend. He is headed to New England today, even though Bill Belichick said, I'm not a travel agent. I don't know anything about that. He is headed to New England today. And so one thing that we've been wondering and that nobody really has had the answer to is, other than the visit was successful, quote unquote, that was reported by Jordan Schultz of The Score, who was on with Stillman & Company earlier this week, what exactly happened? What exactly were the conversations that were being had behind closed doors? Were the Titans and DeAndre Hopkins at a certain point where there could have been a contract on the table? Well, Tom Pelissero was on Total Access on the NFL Network and said that that wasn't the case. This was Tom Pelissero.
There's a lot of teams that would love to have a talented player like D-Hop. What's the latest on where he potentially could land?
Well, the two teams that have shown interest consistently throughout the process are the two that naturally DeAndre Hopkins is visiting. He started out with the Titans, met with them on Sunday, and then again on Monday. No offers, no negotiations at this point, but certainly there's a connection with Mike Vrabel, who was on staff in Houston when Hopkins had some of his best years as an all-pro there.
No offers and no negotiations, says Tom Pelissero about DeAndre Hopkins' visit in Tennessee. Why? That seems very strange to me. You don't bring in DeAndre Hopkins just because you need a buddy to go to the Tim McGraw concert with. How do you bring him in and not talk contract, not talk negotiations, or at least have something drawn up to show him?
I thought about this because I feel like There's a case for both ways, right? You had Orlovsky, right? Don Orlovsky this morning. He went on this passionate thing, and this is to me, this is June on ESPN. We don't have much to talk about, so let's be dramatic, okay?
Mount Rushmore.
It's nuts. They go with hyperbole, and Orlovsky is good at it, right? But he was basically saying you can't let him leave the facility in New England without signing DeAndre Hopkins. So I'm trying to think about the Titans know when he comes to Nashville that he's going from Nashville to New England. So I can see the strategy of don't show your cards, right? If you put the offer down and he takes that offer to New England and says, well, here's my offer from Tennessee, can you beat it? You know, then that's a disadvantage, arguably, for Tennessee.
Yeah.
So I can see that. So I can see them saying, look, let's just leave it here. It's a good feeling. We had a good visit. If you want to be here, we want you. But we need to know, do you want to be here? If you do, after you go to New England, do your thing, then we'll talk contract. If you want to be here, we'll make the money work. I can see that being the strategy. I can see that. Now, you can argue that they should have just done what Orlovsky is saying, and I think Jared was basically
lock
saying the same thing.
Lock the doors, don't let him out.
Don't leave until he signs. I get that too, but I don't think they want him that bad. To me, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is a guy in a different stage of his career, so it's not that simple, right? You got to have your budget. So I don't know. What do you think of the strategy?
I think it's one, because I was thinking about this morning, and I was thinking about what I went through, you know, my last, what was the year? In the NFL. Well, no, it wasn't the last year. Matter of fact, it was when I left here. Excuse me. I'm sorry about that. When I left here, I'm trying to figure out, okay, what did I have to go through?
Mm-hmm.
I took my visits. Well, it was really one. I didn't have to take the other one. But on my first visit, I'm just going to say there was talk between my agent and that team. and the contract was basically on the table. The numbers were on the table. I went there, so they had the numbers prepared, and they let my agent know. Then, as I'm leaving and I'm getting on a plane, my agent calls me and says, hey, listen, this other team, here's their deal. I think they want you. And I specifically said to him, I said, by the time I get off this plane, if the deal is where I want it, that's where I'm signing. Mm-hmm. It was an hour. No, it was about a two-hour flight, two-and-a-half-hour flight, probably a little bit longer than that. I got off the plane. The deal was done. He was like, okay, the numbers are there. I said, okay.
Yeah.
That shows that teams wanted to. The team that I left wanted me because there was parameters of a contract in place. And the team that I didn't even go visit wanted me. Contract in place before I got off the phone. That's how a team shows you that they truly want you on their team. In this situation, I'm not saying that the Titans don't want D-Hop on their team, but they don't want to offer him a contract and that contract be deemed disrespectful because the Titans ain't got no money. That's the way they make it seem. They ain't got too much money. So
they have a limited budget.
Yeah, as much as I want to sign D-Hop, and I want to be the first to jump on that D-Hop train and load up them bags, as the young kids say. Go get your bag. I don't want to disrespect him because the minute I show him the bags and it ain't right, he's not going to come back. He's not coming back to me and say, oh, you know what? I thought about it.
Right.
That's good. No, he's not. They're going to use that as leverage moving forward. And he will, I'm sure he would get more money than what the Titans were offering. So they're just like, listen. We want you to come here. We're going to fill you out. You're going to fill us out. We want to hear what you got to say. If you want to be here, like Willie said, if you want to be here, okay. We can try to make some things work. But we're not going to be the first one to jump in the pool and say, hey, listen, we're here. We want you. Come on in. Join our
Just
party.
Just name your price.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. They're going to allow other teams to possibly do that. Now, New England may do that. New England may say, hey, listen, we don't want you to go nowhere. This is what we're offering. And then it's up to the Titans and or other teams to look at what New England offer and say, okay, either we can offer more or thanks for coming, D-Hop. Man, we don't want to disrespect you with the offer. We just don't have it. So, you know, good luck. I wish we could have brought you here. Is there anything else we can do, you know, that will possibly change your mind? No. All right, then. Good luck with New England or whoever else.
I agree. And if that is the Titans' strategy, I think it's really interesting, and I actually think it's really smart. Because what we've heard from all of the national pundits, Tim included, we talked to Tim Hasselbeck yesterday, they've said, you know, the Titans are at an advantage for meeting with DeAndre Hopkins first. Mm-hmm. And I understand that line of thinking of you get him in the doors first, you get the opportunity to put the contract down and say, this expires in 2 hours, either you sign it or you don't. But I don't think the Titans want to set the market. And if the Titans know that DeAndre Hopkins is going into this entire free agency tour wanting to take his time and knowing that he can take until July if he wants to, until the beginning of training camp to make up his mind, then why would the Titans go ahead and put out a number now and show their cards first? Because let's say the Titans value DeAndre Hopkins at, I'm just pulling a number out, hypothetically speaking, $8 million.
Mm-hmm.
The Titans don't want him to know that. The Titans don't want the Patriots to know that because the Patriots can say, all right, well, we'll offer you $9 million.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Cool. Awesome. So if there's another team out there that would like to set the market, then the Titans can respond. That's kind of what I think the Chiefs and the Bills have been doing. We'll sit back. We'll let everybody else show their cards. We'll let everybody else give you a number. And then if we think that we can match it or go above that, then we'll enter the sweepstakes. If we think 12, 13 million is a little bit too rich for our blood, we'll stay back.
Yeah, and you got to find out, too, maybe he just wants to go to New England. I mean,
we
don't
know.
That's the other thing trying to gauge, right?
Yeah.
Like, we got to find out, does he really want to be in Tennessee? That was, remember, the only revealing line that Mike Vrabel said about the only thing. We want people that want to be here.
Right, exactly. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Per Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network, the Titans did not have a contract drawn up for DeAndre Hopkins, and they did not talk negotiations in his visit to Tennessee. I think it's a strategy, and that's just my philosophy, and I think that Willie and D-Mace kind of agree with me that it's a strategy for the Titans to not show their cards. Trevor Maddich, ESPN football analyst, was on with Stillman and Company yesterday. He gave his thoughts, and we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Billy DeMace, 1025-106 for the game.
What do you make of the fact that the Titans did host DeAndre Hopkins for a visit, but did not make an offer to Hopkins? And how optimistic are you that the Titans are real players for his services?
I think that they are real players for his services, in part because he's leaving without an offer. The Titans are being disciplined here, and I think that's a great thing. They need help in the receiver room, but they're not breaking the bank to bring in the premier free agent that's out there right now, DeAndre Hopkins. They let him go without an offer, reportedly. Normally, if you really want a guy, you don't let him out of your building. You do what it takes to sign him. And if that guy wants to be there, he will let you do what it takes to sign him. Well, he's gone. He's out of there. And he's going on to the Patriots, and I don't see the Patriots, you know, offering any more money than Tennessee might. And so I think there's a very good chance that Hopkins' agents will talk some sense into him, and the Titans will have a good chance to kind of lowball an offer with a lot of incentives and get him in here anyway.
There you go. That was Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst, on with Stillman and Company yesterday. And they continued the conversation, and he got into saying, well, if the Titans didn't have an offer for DeAndre Hopkins, maybe they don't really want him. Maybe they're not really that serious about truly pursuing DeAndre Hopkins. And it kind of made me think, as we're having all of these conversations about adding DeAndre Hopkins, the money that we would be willing to put forth, what this offense would look like with DeAndre Hopkins, what if the Titans didn't get DeAndre Hopkins? You know, at what point, you know, there is going to come a day, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's mid-July, whether it's the beginning of training camp, that DeAndre Hopkins signs a deal somewhere. And it might not be in Tennessee. So what's the Titans' contingency plan?
That's what we're trying to figure out. You know, what Trevor said was it was interesting. Just the last part, because I think everything else before that was pretty much spot on, I believe. I think that's what the consensus is for everyone. Like, it's not a bad thing that he left without a contract. You don't want to show your hands too quickly. But I think the last part he said, well, his agent talked some sense into him, and the Titans can lowball him and fill it up with incentives. If I'm a receiver coming from another team, coming to the Titans, I don't want to hear about incentives, because the way this passing game has been going since, you know, really the last 5 or 6 years, hell, really the last 10, 15 years, I'm not putting incentives on how many passes I catch, unless it's like you catch 30 passes, you get X amount, or you get 4 or 5 touchdowns, or you get 500 yards. I can deal with that. But when you start getting up into the, you know, 900, you know, 80 catches, how many guys have had 80 catches over 900 yards on this roster in the last 15 years? Not many. There's been some, but not many. So I'm not banking
none on
that.
This roster
exactly.
Right now.
I'm not banking on that incentive. It has to be incentives that I know that I'm going to get. Now, as far as, you know, the Titans and where do they go from there, I, again, this is some few things that I did yesterday. And I was looking
in
up
the scrolls.
Guys. Yeah.
Derek's pulling out the scrolls.
Pulling out my scrolls if I can get to the right page. But, no, I pulled out some individuals that are still on the market. Obviously, D-Hop is the main guy. He's head and shoulders above the other guys. And he's 31 years old, just turned 31. You got Kenny Golladay, two-time 1,000-yard guy, 11 touchdowns. He had his best season 2 years ago with the Lions. I don't know what happened to him. That whole giant experiment didn't work out. He's 29 years old. We're going to skip Julio. He's been here. We've done that. We're not going back around that corner. Exactly.
No, thanks.
Cross him off the list.
Exactly. Byron Pringle is a guy that was in Kansas City 2 years ago. He was a part of their Super Bowl winning team. Then he left, and I think he was in Chicago. He went somewhere and didn't get much playing time. He's 29. He has speed. He was a speed guy. That's why Kansas City got him. Jarvis Landry, I don't think he gets along with the quarterback, Ryan Tannehill.
I don't think they like each other very much.
Now, the two that I'm interested in, well, really three that I'm interested in, the last two is N'Keal Harry and Sammy Watkins. Now, listen, Sammy is sort of like he's one of those guys where you know, you bring him in and you put him in on third down and he will catch the ball for you. He's one of those guys. He's not a, he may not be a starter in this league anymore, a two, but he could be a three, definitely a four. N'Keal Harry is interesting because N'Keal Harry is young. N'Keal Harry is 25 years old. He was New England. Was he their first-round pick some years ago?
I feel like he was.
I think he was, and it just didn't work out.
Like the 2019 draft pick?
Yeah, it just didn't work out with him there.
New England has not been drafted very well as of yet.
They have not.
Yeah, they haven't. So you can look at him and say, well, he's still young. He has first-round potential. You can't – you got to kind of look at where he was. No offensive coordinators. Mm-hmm. Quarterback, they didn't have their quarterback solidified. So he wasn't in a position where he can truly show that he can play. You bring him on a team with a solid quarterback, a good offense, doesn't have to be great, but a good offense, a head coach that's not trying to be the coordinator and all this other stuff, and you have a legitimate coordinator now. This may be a guy that can help you. He may be able to resurrect his career. And I'm saying resurrect as if he's been in the league 10 years. He hasn't. He's a young kid. So you got three guys here that I think.
How would you rank them?
I would rank Golladay first.
Golladay first.
Yes, because he's proven now, that he can do it.
I looked at some numbers on Golladay. Uh-huh. He signed a 4-year deal with the Giants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it just, the wheels fell off. He caught 6 passes last year.
Yeah, no.
Oof. And they let him go. There was some injury, but it just never meshed.
Yeah,
there were all kinds of issues.
I can't put that on Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones had a pretty solid year
last year. They never really had a solid quarterback because before last year, they were trying to figure out, was Daniel Jones the guy?
Yeah.
And then, lo and behold, who gets healthy? Saquon Barkley gets healthy. Now Daniel Jones. Exactly. Now Daniel Jones looks tremendously like 100% better than what he was the previous 3 years. So
his stock went from pretty good to
he's sitting here looking for a job.
Right. But he's not, like you said, he's not that far removed from being pretty decent. It's intriguing. So I don't disagree with that. Him number one. N'Keal Harry is another one. He was a first round pick. 32nd overall because the Patriots were picking last. Never really worked there. And he was another guy that he went to a new team and it just happened?
He had flashes, but it never worked out. He had seven catches in seven games.
He was hurt, I guess. I guess he was hurt. Played 7 games. Yeah. 9 catches for 116 yards in the entire season.
I know.
What happened?
And that's the thing. You try to figure out, was that just last year?
That was just last year, and then the 3 years in New England, 12 catches, 33 catches, 12 catches. Just never happened.
So it never did what now? You got to understand, well, did he need a new spot? Well, it's just a lot of factors. In New England, we know their situation with their quarterback. They're still trying to figure it out now. So those three guys, but I would put Golladay at the top of the list, then N'Keal Harry, and then Sammy Watkins.
And that is... you know, potential contingency plans.
Yes.
Plans B, C, D, E, F, so on and so forth, if the Titans don't land DeAndre Hopkins. But this has been a conversation that we've had all week of just how effective is DeAndre Hopkins still. Willie has looked at the efficiency numbers, and last year they weren't great for DeAndre Hopkins. But join us coming up next is Aaron Schatz, the CEO of footballoutsiders.com. He will give us a little bit of context as to what those numbers exactly mean, how we can project DeAndre Hopkins' efficiency going into this season. Aaron Schatz coming up next. Caroline, Billy, G. Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace is brought to you by the new Zen Sports Sportsbook with cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible. Betting just got better. So download the Zen Sports Sportsbook app today. Joining us now is Aaron Schatz, the editor-in-chief of Football Outsiders. Aaron, excited to have you on the program. Appreciate your time. And we've been kind of throwing this around the past couple
kind
of days. We have been absolutely throwing this against the wall the past couple of days. DeAndre Hopkins visits the Tennessee Titans. I think the Tennessee Titans need DeAndre Hopkins bad. But Willie brought up an interesting analytic from your website on footballoutsiders.com that ranks DeAndre Hopkins the 71st most efficient wide receiver in the league this past year. Just a little bit of context behind what goes into that analytic and what that really means when talking about future projection for DeAndre Hopkins.
And Aaron, specifically, DVOA is what I was trying to explain, and I was trying to do it so everybody can understand, but you're probably better at it than I am.
Sure. So DVOA stands for Defense Adjusted Value Over Average. Here's the basic idea. We take every target that a receiver gets. We look at how successful it is based on the down and distance. We compare that to a league average baseline adjusted for situation and opponent. Now, I'll tell you what's not incorporated, which is that this stat does not separate the receiver from his quarterback. So certainly part of what was going on last year with DeAndre Hopkins was that Kyler Murray was not as good as he was the year before, and Colt McCoy had to start a few games. So that's certainly part of last year's Hopkins slowdown, but not all of it.
And what would be the other explanation of that? Because we were talking about the three different quarterbacks. You know, of course, if Trace McSorley is throwing to you, may not look as efficient as if Josh Allen was throwing to you. So aside from quarterbacks, what are some other elements that go into that efficiency ranking?
Yeah, I mean, I think my friend Doug Farrar from USA Today wrote about, you know, if you want a guy to run past your corners, Hopkins is probably not that guy anymore. But if you want a contested catch king or a guy who can get open tight, that's where Hopkins still shines. If you look, it's interesting. His yards after the catch, average yards after the catch, were much lower than they'd been throughout his career, but his average distance of his targets was also lower than it had been throughout his career. So usually when one of those goes down, the other one goes up, but they both went down. And just to sort of summarize, 2021, when Hopkins was awesome, he had five plays of 25 or more yards and four that we call failed completions, which are completions that get so few yards that they're not really successful plays. So five good of the really explosive plays and four of the failed completions. Last year, he had four of those really explosive plays and 16 failed completions, stuff like 2 yards on second and 10.
Wow. So that's a very good way of trying to describe what I was trying to throw out there yesterday, that if that very simple, that you could have a catch and it goes down as yards, your fantasy team gets the yards, you get a fantasy catch in your PPR or whatever, but it's not an effective play in the scheme of the game. That's basically what you guys try to do, right, at Football Outsiders.
Right. Yeah, now here's an asterisk on it, which is that what we're looking at is targets. Now the question is, what if instead of looking at targets, you look at routes? Right? Like all the times that a guy runs a route. So I've been playing around with a version of our stat that uses routes instead of targets. If you look at routes run from last year, Hopkins improves in our stats more than anyone except Tyreek Hill because he draws a lot of targets, and there is a talent in drawing targets. If you're good enough to get open for the quarterback to want to throw to you, that's a talent, and Hopkins still has that talent.
Now, does it change for a guy, because you said your analytics are saying basically, and what I've said, he's a volume guy. So the more targets that he gets, he may get better. But when you're projecting it moving forward as he gets older, then he's not going to get that many targets. So should his value to a team go down?
Well, I think of it differently. I don't think of it as he gets more targets, he becomes more valuable. I think of it as because he's valuable, he gets more targets. Mm. Now, that will go down as he gets older. You know, I would worry about the fact that he's 30. Not everybody makes it into their 30s as good as you do.
Like a fine
we have noted that on the show for sure.
Doing this show, if I'm like, well, you know, receivers get past age 30 and they usually decline, you know, Derek's going to be like, well, I didn't. Well, okay, you did.
So when looking at these numbers, should there be some cause for concern? Because I think, like you said, if you're asking him to, you know, be your down the field guy, Aaron, he's not going to be that at this stage. But if you're asking him to be a contested guy, then that's something that he can continue to do. But when you're talking about his contested catches, is it the 2 yards or 5 yard contested catches because they're pressing him, or is it down the field contested catches where he's picking up big chunks of yardage?
Well, I mean, I think some of that is because of the Arizona offense being so stagnant. Like, I just, especially given that Hopkins had great numbers the couple of previous years, like, I don't think he, you know, last year not being as efficient, I don't think he's fallen off a cliff or anything. My guess is that there's some rebound in there despite his age, and that we're talking more contested catches for 10 and 11, not contested catches for 2.
Aaron Schatz is with us from Football Outsiders. And Aaron, one thing that somebody brought up when the news came out that he was being released on footballoutsiders.com is a great question by somebody, so I'm going to ask it to you. Somebody pointed out that not just DeAndre Hopkins, but literally every wide receiver in that offense was ranked in that bunch between about 69 and 73, somewhere in there. Even Marquise Brown and Rondale Moore and those guys. So what does that say? Because somebody was asking, shouldn't Hopkins, if he's still good, be better than the other guys if he's still an elite guy?
Yeah, and I think that there is a good enough question about that, right? Like, he was down because of the offense he was in. But yeah, if he was about in the same place as the rest of the receivers of that offense, then he didn't necessarily shine compared to them. But this is where that thing comes in about what I said about the difference between comparing by targets versus this new stat that I haven't published yet, but that I'm playing with, that is based on routes. What makes Hopkins stand out from guys like Rondale Moore and Marquise Brown is the way that he gets open and gets targets. And there is a talent in being the guy that gets the targets. And he had a lot of targets compared to the number of routes that he ran last year. So I think that's where the talent is still there. And that shows what Derek was just saying about how he's not a speed pester cornerback guy anymore, but he probably is a good get open contested catch, move the chains, even though he had a lot of passes last year that didn't move the chains. I think in a better offense, he'll move the chains. Now, you know, then we can get into a discussion of how much it's likely that Tennessee's going to be a better offense. The quarterback's probably better than what Arizona was getting last year, but I mean, you know, there's a big honking question mark at left tackle and lots of other things to talk about.
Well, there's no question. And this is the other thing, Aaron, you should have heard Caroline's reaction when I pointed out that Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chris Moore, who the Titans signed as a sort of a bargain wide receiver, and Treylon Burks, who they're really hoping will become a much better player in year two, they all ranked higher than DeAndre Hopkins. Caroline said, that can't be true.
I don't need a number to tell me that Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is ranked above DeAndre Hopkins in any football statistic.
Well, not. I mean, you know, it's how efficient they were last year is a different question than how talented are they in general, and what could we expect from them given their performance over the last 3 years, right? Like, Hopkins was so much better in 2021 than he was in 2022 that I think you have to say, okay, something may have been up. Again, I don't feel like he's quite at the age where you just completely fall off the cliff. Like, it probably is a little bit of a fluke that he was so inefficient last year.
So we know he's going to New England. You follow the Patriots very closely as well, and so you're looking at those two offenses. So I guess, Aaron, the question is, we have an injury history now to look at, the PEDs, these numbers that we've been delving into here. What do you think his value is right now? If, you know, obviously he would like to, you know, come up with some sort of bidding war, but if you had to just maybe do a blind bid, how high would you go to try to grab him?
Oh, I'm terrible at the specifics of contracts. He is the best receiver on the market. Like, I mean, I don't know what the deal was with Kenny Golladay in New York, but, I mean, Hopkins is the best receiver on the market. I mean, you know, if I'm Hopkins, honestly, I just take whoever gives me the most money because neither of these teams is really a Super Bowl contender this year. You can go to the Patriots and go 8-9 and finish fourth. But... you know, I think the Titans need him more than the Patriots do. The other thing I would say as a guy who follows the Patriots is do not sign N'Keal Harry.
Oh,
I heard you bring him up. Don't do that. He don't can't go get there. Him. Just don't.
Oh, okay. So you know more than we do.
Don't go there. I'm guessing that all the Patriots fans I know, and I know a lot of them, would probably agree with Aaron. That didn't go well up there.
Aaron, last one for you. Editor-in-Chief of Football Outsiders, Aaron Schatz, is with us. Just for our own clarification and context and for the listeners as well, I've heard you use the word route a couple of times. Route run. What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, so, you know, it's tough to get some of the information about how many routes guys run because you have to chart the games. I mean, you can get that information sometimes from the NFL Next Gen Stats, which is the chips and the pads. But, okay, if you think about it, it's three different things. Reception is when you catch the ball. Target is when the quarterback throws the ball in your direction. And route is when you run a route, right?
Like a route.
Wide receiver, yes. A route, okay. Route.
Colloquial differences. I'm sorry,
yeah, okay.
Aaron.
Pronunciation difference. I'm being all New Englandy on you.
I'm thinking R-O-O-T, like the root of a plant. Okay, got it. Route, got it. Thank you for that clarification.
Right, and receivers run a route on almost every snap. I mean, there's a handful of screen passes where they're blocking, but for the most part, a wide receiver is running a route on every snap.
Right.
Aaron Schatz, Editor-in-Chief of Football Outsiders, appreciate you joining us. Appreciate for that clarification. Hoping we can get D-Hop down here in Tennessee sometime soon. Aaron, we'll chat with you soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate it. We will react to what Aaron had to say coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, and Jonathan Hutton in 15 minutes. 102.5, 106.3, the game.
When you're talking about his contested catches, is it the 2 yards or 5 yard contested catches because they're pressing him, or is it down the field contested catches where he's picking up big chunks of yardage?
Well, I mean, I think some of that is because of the Arizona offense mm-hmm. being so stagnant. Especially given that Hopkins had great numbers the couple of previous years, I don't think he, you know, last year not being as efficient, I don't think he's fallen off a cliff or anything. My guess is that there's some rebound in there despite his age, and that we're talking more contested catches for 10 and 11, not contested catches for 2.
That was Aaron Schatz, Editor-in-Chief of FootballOutsiders.com, giving a little bit of clarity, a little bit of, you know, behind-the-curtain look of exactly what some of these numbers on DeAndre Hopkins are showing. We were looking at the efficiency rankings for wide receivers in 2022, and DeAndre Hopkins did not have a glowing efficiency ranking for his 2022 campaign, 71st in the league.
Out of 85.
Behind Treylon Burks, behind Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, which that should tell you enough. But how do we feel? Now, hearing a little bit of the inside baseball, the context from Aaron Schatz, how do we feel about that ranking from DeAndre Hopkins?
Here's a couple of things I learned from that. Number one, he definitely noted what we tried to do yesterday mm-hmm. is say, okay, if you took out the last 2 games, for example, that Trace McSorley played, okay, in the last game, they threw him 10 passes, he caught 1. Either he was banged up, not 100%. McSorley stunk. The Cardinals stunk. All of the above were probably out there. That game alone, and the game before that also McSorley played a lot in, that skewed some of the numbers mm-hmm. a little bit. So if you throw those out, the numbers look a little bit better. 1 out of 10. I mean, that's like as inefficient as you can be, right? And his numbers were better when Murray was playing. That was only for 3 games out of the 9. That he played. And then there was Colt McCoy for the other games, and McCoy is what he is. He's a backup veteran quarterback. You are limited. Also remember that even when Murray was playing, he wasn't having a very good year before he injured the knee. They were struggling. It wasn't anywhere near what it was before Hopkins got hurt mm-hmm. before. And he pointed out there were a lot of catches he made last year that were short catches that did not attain the goal. It was a completion for positive yards, but it wasn't a good catch. And I forget the term that he used there, but he had 16 catches that didn't move the needle, mm-hmm. basically, right? It's 2nd and 10. You need to get about 50% of the yards for it to be an effective catch. If you get 2 or 3 yards on a 2nd and 10, that's not an effective catch, even right. though it's a catch. So that's an issue. It's hard for him to quantify how fast he is, how much he's going to bounce back physically, D-Mace, from the knee injury. That's the thing that everybody was wondering with he doesn't practice much. We saw Julio Jones, once he was injured, he wasn't the same. That's something that Football Outsiders cannot quantify. But what he can quantify is the quarterbacks had a lot to do with it, and he's a candidate to bounce back from 71. I think it's a good bet that in a good offense, he's going to be much more productive than he was last year in Arizona.
Yeah, but again, what does that, you know, production look like? And how many times do I have to target him? These are all the things I think you have to you think about, you know, because you look at the Titans offense and what type of offense are they? They're play action offense, run a football, play action off of that. Very seldom are they just getting in 3-4 wides and just spreading you out. And,
right.
And
which is what Arizona was.
Which is what right. Arizona did. And that afforded him, you know, I can guarantee you right now, it was a lot of shallow crosses, slants, quick stuff to get him the ball in his hands. Why? Because he cannot get down the field. No knock on him. He's never been a speedster. And then you add an injury. You add a getting older. You add in, you know, whatever else.
Yeah, PBs, not much practice.
Yes, quarterbacks.
Not much. Exactly.
Going to get there late and not have a lot of time to build chemistry.
So it's you have you're limited in what you can do from a schematic standpoint with him. Even though he's great, he's been a great player in this league, and the numbers bear it out. There's only so many things you can do with him, you know. Contrast it to Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks, he has the speed to get down the field. Treylon Burks has the strength to catch a 2-yard hitch and take it 22 yards. He has the ability to get off the line of scrimmage and still have enough speed to get to where he needs to go.
And even Treylon Burks isn't the speediest guy
exactly.
out there, but he's a yak guy.
Yes, absolutely. So contrast that to D-Hop, and I get it. The age is different. I understand that. But what I'm trying to explain here is this. There are things that you cannot do with D-Hop. You just can't do from a foot speed standpoint. You can't ask him to run a 20-yard, you know, deep end play action, and you're hoping and praying that you get the time to throw it to him. Mm-hmm. You can do that to Treylon because Treylon's going to get down there a little bit faster. You can't have him run, you know, a post unless it's a play action. That's the only way he can run that play as a play. If you got to just get the ball, take 7 steps and throw it, he's not the guy that's going to run. It's going to be a contested catch. That's just what it's going to be. So with him,
which he's good at,
but with him, you're restricted in what you can do from an offensive standpoint with him. Not because he's not good, but because he doesn't have the foot speed to get downfield. He doesn't have those things that you need to really sort of impact the game the way you need to. He's going to catch a lot of passes, and a lot of those passes are going to be 5 yards, 7 yards, quick screen here. He may catch a 12-yard, and he may catch a 20-some yarder on a broken play. But the consistency is going to come between 5 and 9 yards with him. Nothing else. So if you're cool with that, then okay. You can roll with him. He's going to move the chains on you for second and 5, third and 3.
Right, and that comes back to how they track those catches, right? That's where if it's third and 3, mm-hmm. 3 yards is great.
Exactly.
Right.
It doesn't look great for your fantasy team, but it's an effective catch.
If it's mm-hmm. 2 and 25, 3 yards probably isn't too great.
That's not going to get it
but
done.
But you
right?
lose your – and I'm going to say this, and sort of figure it out, kind of dissect it the way you want to. With him on your team, you've become a less explosive offense.
Less explosive than what you are right now?
You become slower at that position. I'm not talking about from a catching the football standpoint. He can catch the football all day. That's what he does.
Yeah.
He catches the football. But if you're talking about being a more explosive, fast offense,
which
Vrabel
is what they
has
said.
Been saying,
yeah,
he doesn't make you that. And that's all I'm trying to make people realize. He doesn't make you a more explosive, fast offense. He's a good player still in this league. And I would take him. But he's not my number two. I mean, he's not my number one, but I need him to be my two, but I need another guy as well. I just don't need him and then some, as y'all call them, jabronis or whatever. I need him and somebody else because as the season goes on, These guys get tired.
And I think that's what Treylon Burks would be for. And I think that's why DeAndre Hopkins would fit better in this offense, so to say, over the Patriots. Because Treylon Burks is going to be, should be, your number one guy, your go-to guy.
Treylon,
you're not
going
to ask DeAndre Hopkins to catch every single ball on a, second and 18.
But you need speed. You need speed at that position. And if say if something happens to Treylon Burks, now you went from, say if your speed meter was 85, now you went to 70. Because now that guy with the speed and the yak ability is gone. You do got a guy that's going to catch the ball a lot in D-Hop, but you lose that advantage of having the speed on the field. Now you're trying to throw Racy McMath on the field and all these other guys to try to generate down the field. That's what they were trying to do last year, get down the field. How the hell then are you going to say, I'm going to get D-Hop and we're going to be a faster team? You better get D-Hop and somebody else. Again, I like D-Hop. He would be a... in addition to this team. But I think people are looking at it from the standpoint of, oh, add D-Hop and our offense is just automatically going to be that guy. I heard this morning, you add D-Hop, you got Treylon, you got Derrick Henry in the backfield. Look out, world. We are the St. Louis Rams of 1999.
Yeah, let's chill with that.
I know. That's what people are thinking. Like, right. It ain't going to be that way. It's not going to be that way because – the speed is not there. You're not going to be an explosive offense based upon what Mike Vrabel already said. We need speed on the field. You don't have it if you do that.
Which brings back to the question is, what is your offer? When you're ready to make the offer, and that's why it's smart not to make the offer yet, because it can't be we're all in. This guy solves all of our problems. Let's pay whatever we need to pay. Mm-hmm. I think Derek's pointing out some really good things of the context of what exactly are you getting at this stage of his career, and what's that worth?
I could be completely wrong.
Let's get Jonathan Hutton's thoughts on that. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton Muthra, will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.